Well, good morning. It's Christmas time, and I don't know how many of you have ever, those of you who are not ministers, how many of you have ever wondered how do you keep coming up with new messages about Christmas, or how do you keep coming up with new messages about a certain subject? Us ministers wonder that too sometimes. But I will say that God is faithful. And as I was thinking about this and looking at this, I came across Isaiah 9:6. And I decided I'm going to go through and look at each one of these titles that God gives. And I'll just say that this is one of the benefits of being a minister. I am forced to dig. I'm forced to go looking. And so often, well, it's just not so often. It is rewarding to go searching the scriptures and finding and studying. So that's not just for ministers, but so I encourage all of us to do that. For unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we're going to be going down through here, and I've got a list of verses that pertain to each one of these. Some have few, some have more. It is by no means an exhaustive list. And you will be thinking of verses that I could have used or examples that I could have used. So maybe as you're thinking about that, we will be having a time for sharing afterwards. That's something you can share. I won't be offended that you think of something that I didn't, or if you say something, you know, that I encourage that. So let's go through this. Let's look at this and let's see what Isaiah or God through Isaiah just exactly. I guess what brought me to this. I have, and I think I've shared this before, but I have this concern, I guess, that when we come to Christmas, now there are those hard-nosed cases out there that are just truly don't want anything to do with Christmas. They call it Xmas, they do whatever. But in general, the general spirit in society this time of the year is goodwill towards men. There's a willingness to acknowledge and hear about Christ. But part of that, if we're not careful, comes from the fact that the Christ of Christmas is a harmless baby in a manger that doesn't demand anything of us. I can love him, I can worship him, I can say good things about him, and he's harmless. So, let's be careful. I'm okay. I think it's okay that we, I want to be, okay isn't right the word. I'm glad that we celebrate Christmas. I'm glad that we talk about and sing about a baby in a manger. But let's never forget that that's where he started, but that's not who he is. Today we're going to be looking at who that baby was and who he became. So, wonderful. The first thing we're going to look at is wonderful. I've always thought, and this is again, just looking at these words and looking at their definitions, it's been good for me to see. When I think of wonderful, I've always thought of him as he's a wonderful God, a wonderful creator, redeemer, whatever. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, we sing. But that is not the primary meaning of this. It is more the idea that he is the wonder. He is a miracle. It is miraculous that he was born. So he is wonderful in the sense that he is a miracle. In Isaiah 7:14, we have, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. The wonder of wonders that God became man, that a virgin had a baby, that God is with us. We have Psalm 77 here. This is the same word that is used calling him wonderful. Psalm 77, 11 through 15. The verses leading up to here, the psalmist is asking, has God forgotten? Has God just cast us off? And here he says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. That's the same word there. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Now remember, this God that we're talking about is the baby in the manger. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. So he is a wonder. He's a miracle. He is a counselor. What does counselor mean? To advise reflexively. To deliberate or resolve. Somebody help me out with the phrase reflexively. What does that mean? Is Chad here this morning? I was wrong. You can be wrong. The idea, well, we know what, you know, if somebody has quick reflexes, you throw something at them and they're going to catch it because they have quick reflexes. But the idea here is reflexively, and that is God counsels with himself. The Trinity. In Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image. Now, when we talk to ourselves, there's a problem. When God talks to himself, it's because he gives himself counsel, and we don't comprehend that. We can't grasp that. But we have some examples here of where he counsels with himself. So in Isaiah 14, as the Lord of, in verse 24 through 27, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That word purpose is the idea of counseling. It's the idea of I've decided this with myself. So shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purpose. This is the purpose that I've arrived at upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed. So he, three times there, he used that same word, counsel. And who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Now in Ephesians, we have the word counsel. So here we have God in Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. So he does things after the counsel of his own will. And so as we come to this baby in the manger, we are seeing a miracle, and we are seeing a counselor who counsels with himself to determine what is best. And then we have that he gives us counsel. So that's another way that he is a counselor. In Psalm 32, 8 through 11, I will instruct thee and teach thee in thy way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So we have Jesus, the counselor, the child that's born is a counselor to us. He also gives us counsel in John 16. Here he talks about, this is Jesus talking as an adult, and he talks about that when he leaves, he's going to send the Spirit. And the Spirit will counsel. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, But whatsoever he shall hear, the Spirit is God, the Spirit is listening to God, and he is sharing with us what he hears. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So we have a baby in a manger who says later, all things the Father has are mine. I will give the Spirit counsel and he will give you guidance through that. And then in Revelation, he gives us a direct counsel. Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So we have a miracle, we have a counselor, we have the mighty God. Think about that. The baby in the manger, prophecy that told of the baby coming calls him Almighty God. So we have the mighty God. Mighty is powerful. By implication, a warrior or a tyrant. We think of a tyrant as a negative thing, but that's the meaning of the mighty. God is strength. As an adjective, it's mighty, especially the Almighty. So, God is a warrior and a tyrant. He is a terrible foe. He is a tyrant to his enemies. And he is mighty on our behalf. And we have some examples of that. 2 Peter 2, verses 4 through 9 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So there's a picture of the Almighty God as a tyrant. The angels that fell, he cast them down into hell, deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So he's got, and again, I don't understand all of this, but he has these demons that rejected him, that rebelled against him, tied in chains, reserved unto judgment. And we're not going to see this verse today, but in the sheep and goat judgment, when God tells the ones on the left, depart from me, he says, into everlasting punishment, prepared for the devil and his angels. Some people say, why would a loving God create a hell? Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Man chose to rebel, and now we deserve the same fate outside of Christ, if we reject Christ. So, he has delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Okay, I'm going to back up. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, if he did that, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So there's another sign of his judgment and his power is the flood. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So if God spared not the angels, if he overthrew the world with the flood, if he burned Sodom, and in that time, or in those situations, delivered Noah and delivered Lot, if he did all that, then in verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. So there's the side that we are thankful for in the Almighty God. He is a tyrant to his enemies and a warrior on our behalf. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Jude 1, verses 5 through 7 says, I will therefore put you to remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So then we have just some more examples of God's being an almighty God. And then 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children. Here's another positive of his power. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'd invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll look at a passage there. One more. I labeled this the ultimate victory. He's an almighty God. And because of that, we know that this will happen according to his word. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, and there's referring to death, earthly death. You die and then go to heaven or hell. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And he's talking to believers here. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, there's going to be those that are alive when Christ returns. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, excuse me. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. To us a child is born. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Another verse I just thought of that would go with that is Paul saying, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We serve an almighty God. He is the everlasting Father. Everlasting is duration in the sense of advance or perpetuity. Excuse me. Advance would be, I believe the idea there is preceding, and perpetuity would be never ending. So we have an everlasting Father, and then the word Father there is just literally Father, and that can be literal, or literal and immediate, or it can be figurative and remote. So literal would be my earthly Father, or we're going to see some verses here where we call God our Abba Father. So he can be our literal Father, or he can be figurative. This word Father can be figurative. We talk about the founding fathers of America. None of us call them our ancestors, probably, but we call them the founding fathers. So that's a figurative idea. So he is the everlasting Father. And really the idea there is that everything that comes from anything is from him. He is where all life comes from. And again, this term is used to refer to a baby in a manger. So we have turned to Romans 8. Turn to Romans 8:12, and we're going to see God as Father, the everlasting Father. Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There we see sonship. You can't have a father without a son. You can't be a son without a father. So as we become the sons of God, He becomes our Father. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So God is our everlasting Father. We, as we are led by the Spirit, become sons of God. And we cry, Abba, Father, which is Daddy, Father. It's a tender term. Galatians 4 uses the same term. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we have Christ as everlasting Father, and that gives us sonship, it gives us an inheritance, and it gives us, we become joint heirs with Christ under God the Father. We have the Prince of Peace. Prince, a head person. And peace, safe, i.e., and i.e. is that is to say, or in other words, or that i.e. there is just, it's saying safe means well, happy, friendly. Also, welfare, i.e., health, prosperity, and peace. Now, this one can be a little, we need to be careful here, that the idea that He's the Prince of Peace is not saying that if I come to Jesus, I'll no longer have conflict on earth. It's not saying that I won't struggle, that there won't be issues to deal with. The idea here, the idea of peace, is between man and their God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the head person of reconciling man to God and creating peace in that relationship. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, and here he makes it very clear. Oh, and I want to also say that word prosperity there does not refer to you're going to be rich if you follow Christ. That's not at all what that means. That's saying that the relationship between Christ and I can prosper and be at peace and be healthy. These things, John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And here Jesus makes it very clear. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Colossians 1:19-23, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. So here again, this peace is between us and God. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So here we have, again, God reconciling man to Himself through His Son. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So now we have a responsibility. This baby in the manger became Jesus, the man who gave his life for us, reconciled us to God, and now has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Again, he says, he's given that responsibility to us, or that responsibility. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. So Paul is saying, now we're speaking on behalf of God. It's as though God was speaking to you through us. And this is what he's pleading. We pray you in Christ's stead. I'm saying this for Christ. I beg of you, be ye reconciled to God. There is no one here that God doesn't desperately want to be reconciled with. We pray you in Christ's stead. I'm asking you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God gave his Son. He was the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. For the express purpose of reconciling mankind to himself. Please be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Unto us a child is born. This child is wonderful. It's a miracle. He's counselor to advise reflexively, to deliberate or resolve. He counsels with himself in perfect wisdom and also gives us counsel. He's a mighty God, powerful, strength, everlasting, Father, Prince of Peace, a head person in reconciliation. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'd like you to read this with me. And let's try to read it, hopefully with new eyes, when we read these terms, what they mean. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I have verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Brothers and sisters, we have good news. Let's rejoice. We have tidings of great joy. Let's share. This is not just a baby in the manger. This is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm going to ask you to remain standing. I'm going to read two passages here and then I'll let you go. Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And our response, Matthew 28, or our responsibility in response to this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That includes the United States of America. Teach all nations. Share with your neighbors. Share with those around you the good tidings of great joy. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Unto us a child is born. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son. I thank you, Lord, for salvation, for peace, that you are an almighty God, that you give us counsel, that you have perfect counsel with yourself, that we can just know that you are good, you are here, you are always, and that you love us. Help us, Lord, to share the message with those around us, to be what you would have us to be, to honor your name, to make your name great. I pray your blessing on each one here. I ask, Lord, that all of us would know reconciliation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.